From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's all bow together in a word of prayer to call upon the Lord's great name. Almighty God and our Father in heaven, we do humbly and reverently come into thy presence. We're thankful, dear Father, for the joy in our hearts whereby we can sing of Calvary, thanking thee and blessing thee, O God, for so great salvation. We thank you, Lord, for redemption's plan. We do praise thee, O God, that in mercy you sent forth your Son. He is born of the Virgin, born in a humble manger, and yet, O God, one who came to give his life for a ransom for many. We do thank you, Lord, for the willingness of our Savior to be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And we thank you, O God, that even now he's highly exalted. He's the name above every name, for at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And yet, dear Father, we're conscious that we have that personal joy in our souls, our sins forgiven, in peace with God. We thank you, Lord, that our burdens were lifted at Calvary, and that burden of conviction of sin. We're conscious, O Lord, that there are many in our nation, in our towns, and they're strangers to thee and to grace. And we ask, O God, that as these services will be broadcast, that in mercy thy word would find a resting place. May it have much benefit to the Lord's people, but may it also bring conviction of sin to those outside of Christ. Oh, dear Father, what a fearful thing it is to fall into Thee, the hands of the living God. And thus we pray, God, for these meetings to have that sense of deep solemnity, that eternity be written across these meetings, and that all things will give Thee the glory. Do bless Thy word to your hearts during this time. Bless the one who preach, and they know the help of God to preach with freedom and with the unction of the Holy Ghost. And in all these things, we'll give Thee the praise and the glory. For we ask and pray in our Saviour's blessed name. Amen. Amen. Well, please turn now in your Bibles to the New Testament and to the book of Philippians and the chapter 4. Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, and the chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to read from the verse number 1 of this chapter. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, let's hear and give attention to the public reading of the Word of God. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other thy fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And then on down to one text, verse number 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. And may God bless the public reading of his word to your hearts for his name's sake. We're going to turn now in our hymn books once more, and we're going to sing the hymn, Who Can Cheer the Heart Like Jesus by his presence all divine.
Thank you. book of Philippians speaks of the themes of joy, peace, thankfulness, rejoicing, and praise. These are precious treasures purchased for us by our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What is striking about this book is that the exhortations to rejoice in the Lord were written from a prison cell. Incarcerated because of his faithful preaching, Paul didn't take the attitude, it's not fair, but rather he used his time to encourage the believers in Philippi to continue rejoicing in the Lord, just as he was doing in spite of his circumstances. Commenting on this passage, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones writes, "Sooner or later in life, we all meet with untoward circumstances and find ourselves in some sort of prison. It may be a sick bed or a hospital. It may be an accident. It may be grief or sorrow. Something puts us there. We are in that prison and we cannot avoid it." If you're saved any length of time, you'll know that the Christian life is not always an easy life. You'll know that difficulties and trials are permitted to come across our way. And sometimes we have that prison house experience. Circumstances which, humanly speaking, we would not choose for ourselves, and yet God permits us to go through them. So my question today is, what do we do when life gives us prison house experiences? What do you do whenever the world around you falls in? What do you do when trouble comes? When you receive that disturbing news? When things do not go the way you had hoped and the way you had planned? Well, God's word tells us exactly what to do as believers. My text is verses number 6 and 7. And I want to read it through, and then I want to leave with you three simple thoughts of what the Lord would say to us whenever we face prison house experiences in life. It says there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." What's the first thing we have to do whenever trouble comes along our pathway? Well, I believe it's found in verse number 6. Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. That word careful in the original means to be anxious. It is a thought of being pulled about in many directions. Everyone here knows the different pressures that life puts upon you. And sometimes those pressures can be overwhelming in your role at home, at church, and also in your workplace. And sometimes we can feel anxious about life around us. But the Bible says that we are to be anxious or careful for nothing. Why? Why does the Bible instruct God's people not to be anxious and not to be worried? Well, I believe that care and anxiety rob the Christian of what is rightfully his in Christ Jesus. You see, care and anxiety robs us of our praise. Praise is to be the mark of a child of God. We've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, washed in his blood. Our guilt has been covered. It has been dealt with, borne by our Savior, our substitute. We are on our way to heaven, and therefore there's always something to praise the Lord for. And whenever we're anxious and full of care and worry, then we lose our note of praise. Not only that, but we also lose our joy whenever we're anxious. Joy and anxiety cannot coexist. We lose our joy when we sin. We know that in Psalm 51. After David had sinned with Bathsheba, in that psalm of repentance, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." But anxiety also robs a believer of joy. And perhaps you've known what it is today, or this past week, or month, or even year, to go through times where you've lost the joy of walking with the Lord because of the cares and anxieties of the world. And whenever praise is lost, and whenever joy ceases, then you find that the confidence of the Christian often fails. What's our confidence? Knowing who you are in Christ. Why? Because our eyes are off our Savior and they're focused on our cares and on our problems. The command of Scripture is very clear. 366 times we're exhorted in Scripture to fear not, be ye not afraid. And the Word of God tells us the very reason for that. I believe in Matthew chapter 6, we read of the reason why we're not to be anxious, why we're not to be afraid, concerned over the things of life. It tells us at the end of verse 32, your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these things. I think that's one of the most precious statements in the Word of God. Child of God, do not be anxious tonight. Your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of. He knows your spiritual needs. He knows your physical needs. He knows your material needs. God knows. And God will meet you at the point of your need. So what are you exhorted to do there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, your calling in life as a believer is to put Christ first. To seek after his kingdom, to seek after that which he offers to you through Christ in Scripture. What is the kingdom of God that we are to seek after? Well, in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And believer, that's what you ought to be striving after today. You ought to be praying and asking the Lord for the blessings of his righteousness, walking in the paths of righteousness, the peace of God that we're going to think about in a moment that passeth all understanding, and joy in the Holy Ghost. These are yours to claim today. If you prayed and asked the Lord today to give you these blessings that Christ has purchased for us and offers to us in his precious word, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's our first thought. Do not be anxious or careful about the things of life. Then the Bible tells us not just to forget about our anxiety, but to do something about it. There's a positive note here. And this is our second thought. It says in verse number 6, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I believe there are three things here that the child of God is to do in the day of trouble, in the day of anxiety, indeed, every day of their lives. They ought to pray, they ought to supplicate, and they ought to be thankful. That word prayer, the thought behind that word in the original is the thought of worship, adoration, devotion unto God. And isn't it interesting that that's the first thing we're commanded to do? In spite of our circumstances, God is always worthy of our praise. He has not changed. Yes, our circumstances may have changed, but God is still the same. And we ought to praise him for that. We ought to praise him that there is no shadow of turning with him. We always ought to commence our prayer with praise unto the Lord. That sets our heart aright when we pray. And then it says, by prayer and supplication. And that word simply means an earnest sharing of our needs and our problems. And the thought here is getting to the point. And I would urge you as believers to pray specifically. Pray specifically, and you'll see God answering specifically. Pray for people by name. Pray for problems very clearly. Leave them before the Lord, and you'll see his hand move. You'll see him answer very specifically in your life. You know, sometimes people pray, and they wander in their prayers, and they don't actually get to the point of supplicating. Lord, here's my need today. Lord, this is what I'm facing today. Lord, this is what thou hast permitted to come across my pathway today. Lord, I'm handing it over to thee. Prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, and that's simply appreciation. You say, how can I be thankful in a time of trouble? How can I be thankful whenever I'm facing an unknown future? How can I be thankful whenever I'm devastated by the news that I receive? Well, I believe that the believer is called to be thankful in every situation. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10, Daniel was facing death. And it says there, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel faced death by ravenous lions. And yet he got on his knees and he thanked God. What did he thank God for? Well, I believe he thanked God that God was able to deliver him. And if God permitted him to go through that experience of life, God would give him grace to face it. You know, whenever we pray, God doesn't always deliver us from the circumstances. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego? But thank the Lord, he went through their circumstances with them. And therefore, we have something to be thankful for, because he has said, I will never leave thee, and I will never forsake thee. No matter what you face, child of God, you don't face it alone. Although Satan would come and whisper, where's your God? Where's your comfort? God is always there. Closer than any friend, closer than any brother, and he has promised to walk with you. Fear not, be of good courage, for I am with thee. And then we come to the promise that is given. The conditions given in verse number 6, the promise, and this is our third point, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is a promise for the Christian tonight. This is yours to claim tonight. If you will kneel before the Lord, if you will pray, if you will supplicate, if you give thanks to the Lord, then you can expect on the promise of God's word, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We need peace today. This is a troubled world. This is a wicked world. I really don't know how unsaved men and women watch the news and go to bed and sleep peacefully at night. But we can, because God's in control. We can tonight because God will give us the peace that passeth understanding. And that's the wonderful thing about prayer. Prayer changes us. I know it's often said prayer changes things. And yes, Scripture does prove that. But I like the saying, prayer changes me. Whenever I pray, I'm changed. Someone once said, depend upon it, prayer does not mean that I am to bring God down to my thoughts and my purposes and bend his government according to my foolish, silly, and sometimes sinful notions. But prayer means that I am to be raised up into feeling, into union and design with him, that I am able to enter into his counsel and carry out his purposes fully. And maybe there's a circumstance in your life tonight and you're praying about it. God may not remove it, but he'll give you the strength to go through. And what a wonderful promise. God always hears. And God answers prayer. And here's what he gives, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. I love that statement. It passeth all understanding. Humanly speaking, there are times when we shouldn't have peace, but God gives us peace. I stood at gravesides and saw people bury their loved ones and their hearts are breaking, but there's the peace of God in the midst that passeth all understanding. I sat with people just moments from death, but they're dying in Christ. And God gives a special grace and what can only be described as the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And perhaps today, Christian, you need that peace within your heart because your anxiety has robbed you of your joy and of your praise, and if you're honest, even of your confidence. I urge you to flee to the one who promises to give you his peace. This is not the peace that the world speaks of. This is peace with God. This is the peace of God. And it's peace from God. This is a peace that can be experienced in the most difficult of circumstances. And this peace is promised for those who will pray. Hymn writer said, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And I urge you, listener, viewer, whatever you as a Christian are going through today, come and live with God's best, God's peace, God's presence. And I urge you right now, right here, to bow that head and talk to the Lord and claim this promise. We're going to commit ourselves to the Lord in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee today for the privilege of opening thy word, coming to this portion that's so practical for God's people. Lord, we thank thee for our salvation. But we have to say with the hymn writer, it's not an easy road. We're traveling to heaven. Thank that hymn says, but Jesus walks beside us. We thank you, Lord, for lifting the burdens. Thank you for those times in life's difficulty when we've prayed and the peace of God has flooded our soul. Oh, Lord, thou hast been so gracious and so good. I pray for brethren and sisters here tonight. There are those, Lord, who are anxious and those who can't shake life's problems. I pray, oh, Lord, that they will know what it is to cast their burden upon the Lord and that thou wilt sustain them. Thank thee for that peace, O Lord. Thank thee, Lord, that nothing can mar that peace. And we just pray, Lord, tonight that we will live in the righteousness and in the peace of God and in the joy of the Holy Spirit. Bless us. Write thy word upon our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name for his glory.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv.